We are talking about a lot of things, emergency preparedness, security and safety and such throughout this month because it is National Emergency Preparedness Month. And this morning, joining us from the airport, we have Travis Robbins. He's the assistant manager and fire chief, and Mark Sievertson, who is with security over there. And they are going to tell us about an upcoming emergency exercise that you, the public, can potentially participate in because they need volunteers. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Yes, it is Emergency Preparation Month, and over at the airport we are doing a scenario drill that we're required to do every 3 years, but it's part of the monthly stuff, and so we jump in on that one. I haven't figured out why they do emergency preparation in October in Alaska. We should do it earlier in the summer where it's nice and it's not going to be pouring rain on us.
Maybe, but they want the real conditions.
Yeah, that's usually what it turns out to be. We pray for sunshine, but I don't think it's going to work. So it was scheduled for October 14th. We are changing the date to allow more people, because we haven't really advertised this a lot, and we want more people in the community to come over and volunteer to be role players. So we're moving it to October 21st. And so that allows more people. We're just now getting out in the public, letting people know, hey, we want volunteers to be role players. And the role players range in anything from, you know, victims of the disaster. We'll have different types of injuries for these role players, and each one will get a card and basically say, this is what your role is. It's a really big drill. It's not just the airport personnel involved. We get everybody from the whole community involved in this one, and all the emergency planning people. It's a large drill that everybody kind of piggybacks off of and uses it as their training aid as well. This includes the hospital is involved in this one. We have
U.S. Coast Guard, the Customs, State Troopers, Police Department, all the public safety agencies around Ketchikan, and we're pretty excited this year to add a few agencies that haven't been invited to the drill in the past but could be extremely beneficial, such as the Coast Guard has a medical team. So we would love to include them in this year's drill. And with pushing it back to the 21st, we're hoping that with the Fire Preparedness Week is what's coinciding with the 14th, reason why we're pushing it back, that we will have more ambulatory service able to participate. The hospital will be doing they'll be doing their drill at the same time. This will coincide. That way they get more practice on mass amounts of people coming into the hospital. And one thing I would like to add would be that we are going to try to keep uninterrupted ferry service that day. It's going to be difficult because of all the volunteers coming across, but our goal is to keep the traveling public also getting across on a timely manner. But if for the community to be prepared, that there may be a slight delay in the ferry service, and the reason for it is because of this drill. So possibly on the 21st of October, if you're catching one of those morning flights, it'd be a good idea to maybe leave a half an hour early so that you can make it your flight in time.
Okay, and 3 years ago when this last happened, as I recall, the scenario was that a plane crashed and went off the end of the runway. Is that correct? And then
correct.
They had to evacuate people and, again, go through how the hospital would react, how fire and police would react, and what they might do. Do people know in advance what the scenario is, or does it happen like that day and then they have to kind of get surprised as to what they're being pulled into?
We do not want to do a surprise. We fully sit down. The goal is to try to streamline this and get everyone a working knowledge of what the airport is like, all the difficulties like using the ferry. So we want to make it as clean as possible. With an emergency, we never know what's going to happen, what the details are going to be. So this way, we at least get to work with other agencies, see our strengths and weaknesses, and play off those. And it's a great learning lesson every time we do this. And we've been doing this since the airport's opened. So, and every year we learn new people that should be involved, and also what other agencies can assist with.
And obviously you're working around flight schedules as well, because planes will be coming and going. So it's a block of time where people would need to commit to volunteer helping out, about roughly, like, what time are we talking?
So we're going to start the drill. We're going to have volunteers meet up at the hospital about 7:30 in the morning, and that's where they'll get all the, what they call it?
Moulage.
Fancy word for makeup. They'll get all their stuff done there, and then we'll supply transportation over to the airport in a bus, and then we'll start staging over there. We're tentatively having it between a block of...
We're shooting for 7 a.m. to do the moulage, and hopefully the drill will be finished by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
So we're going to try catching... The majority of the events will take place when there's not planes on the ground. And that will help with, foot traffic and car traffic coming across on the ferries.
And with that, when people are made up to have injuries, will the responders know what has happened? I mean, do they have like a tag on them, or they just look at this person with a gash on their face?
They
or whatever
do moulage very well, and so the injuries look...
Oh, very realistic.
Yeah. I mean, it's really good, the way to do it. And... You know, we're talking about how we do all this stuff, and, you know, every time we do this, something's learned different. And it's like in any major event, the biggest step is everybody working together, and the logistics of, like, over at the airport is getting everybody over there and back. You know, the emergency personnel, they're great at what they do. So the emergency personnel doing the treatment stuff, I mean, that's already there. It's getting them there and back is the biggest issue. And any of those things, once it starts going, it pretty much takes care of itself. It's all the preparation to get them over and back is what we learn from.
Okay, and the volunteers, is there an age range?
Someone brought this up that, you know, the age range is, we want all ages, because in a realistic scene, we're going to have ages from infants to elderly and in wheelchairs. It's going to be such a wide range of people that the wider range of people that we can get to show up at the drill, the more realistic we can make it. And I think the element of surprise is going to be the people that are responding and seeing what injuries people have with moulage and figuring it out. That will be the element of surprise, but the crash scene and all that will be pre-planned out. And we meet probably about a half a dozen times before this happens with other community safety members and try to plan it out as far in advance as possible.
If someone is interested in volunteering, being a victim, or in
call
any
Mark
way
Sievertson.
Helping out.
Yeah, yes, what should they do? You can call me at the airport, Mark Sievertson. We're over there. Or you can send me an email at marks@kgbak.us. U.S.
And his personal home phone.
And actually, I will also, we do post these interviews, so I will post your contact info on our website.
We have one more thing. Travis, you want to talk about it? We're trying to get it out there.
My birthday's not until November.
Oh, okay. No, Nixel.
Nixel. Excellent. Yes, Abner, who comes in here quite a bit, the other fire chief. he will probably speak more about this, but we do have a new public safety way of getting announcements out through, and Nixel is going to be the new way of getting public information for anything ranging from bus schedules to airport parking is going to be our big one if it's full during the holidays. And any kind of course, disaster that would happen, we can go to, you can be alerted on any level basically that you would like. So it's, we're pretty excited about doing it. People are already signing up for it. If Mark remembers how to do it, I did about 3 months ago. So
yeah, we used to use a flash alert for the airport parking and, you know, summertime holidays. The parking lot does get full and it really throws people behind schedule when they show up and our lot is full. And so this new system, Nixle, will allow us to get more advisements out to let people know what the parking lot status is, even, you know, on the airport side and on the town side. So Chief Hoke, I mean, he'll, if you want to get signed up and that stuff, they have a lot of the information to get subscribed to that.
And he did speak about it yesterday, I believe, talked about that as well. And we will, I'll put the link there as well with this report so that people can find out how to sign up.
Excellent. And then lastly, I think we'll be making an announcement here shortly that the borough purchased some new artwork for the airport. So we're excited to show that off. So the unveiling will be coming up, and I'll let you guys know when that is.
Okay. Roughly in a month or unknown? Or
We're just finishing up some of the small stuff. We'll probably have it hung prior to the opening, but we are working with the Arts Council has donated some of their time to come over and put their input in as well. So we'll try to work out a date and make it so that people can come over and do an unveiling over at the airport after the tourism season is over, so that it's less crazy around there.
Okay. All right, great. Anything else you want to add?
That's
nope.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. And again, I will put that contact info. You can certainly contact Mark Sievertson at the airport if you're interested in signing up to volunteer. Again, thank you to Mark and Travis Robbins for being here this morning. It's 15 minutes before 9:00.